So we certainly live in a bizarre day. Here in Western civilization, North America, some say, who study history and philosophy, would say that we have lived through the age of science, where science catapulted technology forward, and where facts, scientific facts, influenced popular culture and informed governments in their decisions. Many would now say that we are in a post-truth era. Post-truth, a day in which truth is called into question, is argued against. Francis Schaeffer, great historian, wrote the book and then made a video series, How Should We Then Live? He calls this age the age of non-reason. So we came through the science age to what he calls a time of post-truth, an age of non-reason. There are many who today say that there is no objective truth, that nothing is verifiable. Everything depends on your perception, and meaning is not just the meaning of the author, like meaning of writing or whatever. It's not so much the meaning of the author, it's whatever I assign to it, the meaning of the one perceiving what is written or the music or the action or whatever. So truth is being called into question. Most today put an emphasis on what is true to you. And we hear that. We hear that everywhere. This is a constant message in the media, movies, music, social media, but it's also been a constant message in education in the last few decades. And so we're seeing how this has, these crazy seeds are now bearing bitter fruit in our day. Yet truth matters. And that's the title today. Truth matters. And it matters in every area of life. Whether it's supposed science statistics that are used to justify government policy decisions that affect people and their livelihood, truth matters. Whether it's details of an event that a court is attempting to determine through their court case, truth matters. It also matters on the mathematics behind the mortgage the lawyers are asking you to sign. Just ask Francis and Mila about that one. Truth matters. And to say that it doesn't matter is totally going against the everyday life that we live. Truth matters where we live. And yet when it comes to religion, to the big questions of life, like why are we here? How did we get here? Is there a God? Is there some transcendent truth? And if so, what is that God like? And where are we going? These big questions, so many would be saying, so many are saying today that in these areas, there is no way to know any truth. That truth really is impossible. At least it's impossible to know. And that they go beyond, they'd say that every viewpoint, every belief is equally valid. Well, that is wreaking havoc in our society, in our education, in our law court system, in our science, and the government and business funding of science and research. But especially as followers of Jesus, we need to hear very clearly what our Lord Jesus said about truth, and to hear it, to know it, and to let that guide our hearts and minds. See, truth is the essence of Jesus and of his mission. Truth is so important that Jesus can personify, did personify truth. Truth is so important, he even put it this way in John 14:6, as he was talking to his disciples, preparing them the night before his crucifixion. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So he says he personifies truth. He is truth. And so many, many places in the New Testament, Jesus intertwines himself with truth, or truth with himself. He's constantly saying, I'm telling you the truth, such and such, whatever it is. I mean, I started to try to count through how many times in the Gospels he's recorded as saying that. If you're reading King James, it's verily I say to you, truly. And literally the word here is amen. Amen, I say to you this or that. John records it as amen, amen, or verily, verily, or I'm telling you the truth, or however we translate it in our modern versions. But amen is the literal word. It means truth. This is the truth. And you need to hear it because this is the truth. So no place where Jesus speaks of truth is he clearer than when he is on trial, when he's on trial before Pilate. And so I want us mainly to look at John chapter 18 this morning. So turn in your Bible to John chapter 18. And this comes in the middle of Jesus appearing first before Annas, the high priest, and then Caiaphas. And so John chapter 18, I'll read starting at verse 28. Then they took Jesus from Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They did not enter the headquarters themselves, otherwise they would have been defiled and be unable to eat the Passover. Then Pilate came out to them and said, "What charge do you bring against this man?" They answered him, "If this man weren't a criminal, we wouldn't have handed him over to you." Talk about skirting the truth. Okay, so Pilate told them, "Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law. It is not legal for us to put anyone to death," the Jews declared. They said this so that Jesus' words might be fulfilled, signifying what kind of death he was going to die. Because they would execute someone by stoning. Jesus talked about being lifted up from the earth. That would be crucifixion. So he said this so that Jesus' words might be fulfilled, signifying what kind of death he was going to die. Then Pilate went back into the headquarters, summoned Jesus, and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Are you asking this on your own, or have others told you about me?" "I'm not a Jew, am I?" Pilate replied. "Your own nation and the chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?" "My kingdom is not of this world," said Jesus. "If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I wouldn't be handed over to the Jews. As it is, my kingdom does not have its origin here," or literally, "my kingdom is not from here." So my kingdom is not of this world. It doesn't come from this world. Verse 37. "You are a king then?" Pilate asked. "You say that I am a king," Jesus replied. "I was born for this, and I have come into the world for this, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." "What is truth?" said Pilate. And after this, he went out to the Jews again. So we'll stop there and we'll look at what Jesus says here. Numerous things that Jesus says. Verse 37, and so we'll mainly look at the end here. "I've come into this world for this, to testify to the truth." So as I said, truth is central to Jesus' mission. He was not just mystical or subjective, but rather truth was central. Now, some people, powerful people, the Jewish leaders of his day, didn't like what Jesus said. Jesus said it anyways, because it was the truth, because he came to testify about the truth. And yet many in the crowds recognized that Jesus spoke as one who had authority, And we have that recorded in at least a couple places in the gospel. Jesus' words and his teachings were not just feel-good pep talk, as is popular in many places today. I remember one speaker I heard in high school, don't even know the guy's name. We were just brought into an assembly, and he went on and on. They had television cameras, taping cameras, taping the whole thing, and he just kept repeating this phrase, you can fly if you try, you can fly if you try. I was hoping to go into aerospace engineering. I'm thinking, yeah, you in a plane are stupid. What are you talking about? We don't create our reality. Anyways, but that was his pep talk. That was his phrase. You can fly if you try. No, Jesus wasn't about that. He was about truth. He was about speaking truth even when it wasn't popular. Jesus told the people of his day and us that we are sinners, that we have all gone our own way. And because of that, we are separated from God. That if we don't believe in him, we are condemned already. And he told us that we are lost without him. So that is certainly not popular, but it is the truth. So in these words, I've come into this world for this, to testify the truth. He is saying that he is not from here. And that is something that his critics were very upset about. He's saying here to Pilate, my kingdom is not from here. And so the whole reason that he was born and he came into this world, he says to Pilate, is to testify to the truth, to speak the truth, and to speak about the nature of truth as well. Here Jesus shows he's more concerned with speaking truth than with saving himself. Pilate gives him many chances to just, you know, stop causing trouble and leave, and he wouldn't be crucified. Pilate later says, don't you realize I have the power to have you crucified or the power to let you go? Jesus said, you wouldn't have any power if it wasn't given to you by my Father. But Jesus is more concerned here on his trial, at his trial, with discussing the nature of truth with Pilate, and then through the writing of these words with us and with all generations after. He's more concerned with discussing truth than with saving his own life. He uses this opportunity, his trial, to talk with Pilate about truth and to convict Pilate. The historical facts of Jesus' death and resurrection would be so central to this message and to the spreading of this message. This really is the essence of the gospel, the verifiable facts about Jesus, the truth. So, I've come into this world for this, to testify to the truth, but then Jesus goes on. As he says, everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. So this really is an indictment of the chief priests who handed him over to Pilate, and to Pilate himself, who is about to sacrifice truth, the innocence of Jesus, which he appeared to know is true. He's going to sacrifice truth for the political points of pleasing the Jewish authorities. So Pilate may have thought he was being clever when he asked Jesus there. And at this point, you know, it's getting personal. Okay, well, he just says, so what is truth? But notice he doesn't ask what is the truth or what is true in this situation. He tries to be more philosophical. So maybe he's implying that truth is subjective, that everyone has their own version. And you could understand from his point of view, every prisoner, right, is innocent, right? Or they have some good justifiable reason for why they committed their crime. And every politician has his own reasons for being corrupt. So Pilate was used to people trying to bend the truth, shall we say, as people say, dealing fast and loose with the truth. Jesus was very clear when he says, everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. So what this means is that to listen to Jesus' voice is to recognize the truth of his words and his character. It is to believe that he is the Son of God who has come in the flesh. He is the I Am, as he called himself. That's the name that God gave Moses for who he was. Jesus is God come in the flesh. That is the truth. And Jesus is saying that everyone who's of the truth listens to my voice. So he's saying that for someone, Pilate, for instance, to oppose Jesus would show that he is not of the truth. Not that Pilate seemed to let that stop him from sinning by condemning an innocent man. So we need to hear this. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. So what that means is every scholar who scoffs at Jesus, every professor, every imam, every rabbi or guru who opposes what Jesus says about himself, who doesn't listen to Jesus' voice, is not of the truth, as Jesus says. They are not dealing with truth. Truth may not even matter to them. Numerous writers have said that you can't just say that Jesus was a good teacher. And that's important. That could not be true, because anyone who made the claims that Jesus made about his divinity, as Jesus does over and over and over, if that isn't true, then he's not good. He can't be merely a good teacher like other good philosophers and teachers. He claims to be God. And if that's not true, he's not good. If it is true, he's way more than a good teacher. Jesus did not leave that option of him being just a good teacher. He didn't leave that option open to us. He did not intend to, as C.S. wrote very well in the book Mere Christianity. So while we need to be polite and respectful toward every person because they're made in the image of God and they each are responsible to God for themselves, and they're not responsible to us, but they are responsible to God, we need to be polite and respectful toward them, but we must recognize that Jesus is the dividing point. You either get with him or you oppose the truth. And many are even opposing the concept of truth as they oppose Jesus. See, it's very ironic that one of the main things that today's truth slayers, as I'll call them, one of the main things that they target is the Bible and Christianity in our culture. They do all that they can so that they can basically say or convince people that the Bible is not historically true. They pick at its authenticity and the transmission and how it came together, and they argue with history, with scholars, with the people alive and writing in that day. They argue with that 2,000 years later to be able to discredit Jesus and all of Christianity. Now, beyond the obvious contradiction of them saying truth is subjective and yet denouncing the Bible as a forgery, I mean, that doesn't make sense. But the point is, they can't answer why would a forgery put so much emphasis on the truth? If I was going to make a forgery, I wouldn't go on and on about truth in that. Why not just talk about dogma or mystical enlightenment as so many other religions do? Why have such an emphasis on truth? Jesus was going to his death for that issue of truth, the truth of who he is, God come in the flesh. Well, Jesus speaks about truth many places, and I'll just mention a couple of John chapter 10, verse 37, as Jesus is talking to the crowds and they're debating with him about who he is, he says, "If I'm not doing my Father's works, don't believe me. But if I am doing them, and you don't believe me, believe the works." See, objective truth and belief work together. Jesus wasn't calling people to blind faith. Certainly not them, not there at that time, and not in this conversation. He was asking people to look at the facts and believe. And say, you can't ignore these facts. They will lead you to the truth. These are facts you can verify. You can go see these people that I've healed. Jesus spoke another time in John 8, verse 31 and 32. And he was talking to his disciples, to the Jews who believed in him. He said, "If you continue in my word, you are really my disciples indeed. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." So, he ties himself, his words, with truth. He says, basically, that untruths capture us. They enslave us. They are used by people to get us to follow them rather than the truth. So, untruths ultimately hinder us from serving God, at least to some degree, depends on the untruth. The way to know truth, Jesus is saying, is to hold on to Jesus' words, his teachings, to know that they are truth, just like he is the truth, and that they will lead us into the truth. And into the freedom that comes from believing what is true and of recognizing the lies that we may tell ourselves or others may tell us. So, because truth is so crucial to Jesus, it's got to be crucial to us as well. Numerous places in the New Testament, as you read on in the Gospel, the Gospel, Jesus talks about being truthful, and in the letters, that's a constant refrain. And I'll just mention a couple places. But the point is, we must be meticulously careful with the truth. So Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, in a whole list of how we are to deal, Ephesians 4:25, how we are to deal with others in the body of Christ and outside of the body of Christ. It says, "Since you put away lying, speak the truth, each one to his neighbor, because we are members of one another." Speak the truth, each one to his neighbor, because we are members of one another. So he's saying, if we're not dealing in truth, we're hurting the community. If we think that we can use untruth to help us, it's hurting us and the community as well. So we've got to be speaking the truth. We've got to be believing the truth. We put away lying, as he put it. And then last, in December, just before Christmas, as we were finishing Philippians, we looked at one of my favorite verses too, Philippians 4, verse 8, where the Apostle Paul says, "Whatever is true, whatever is honest, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, if there's any good report, if there's any virtue, think on these things." In other words, let truth guide your mind. Fill your mind with truth. Meditate on the truth. Make sure you always ask yourself in every situation, what is true in this situation? Because it will keep me from being enslaved. it will lead me to freedom. It will lead me to Christ. Now, there are many things in this world that we have a hard time understanding or figuring out in this physical world, and understand that. There are many times when, God is behind science. God inspired science. He said, be fruitful and multiply. Subdue the earth. So go figure it out. Make the most of it. And that's really the push behind science. And most of the early scientists were Christians. So the idea of going and finding truth in this world and figuring out how things work in God's creation. And yet there are times when we're going to have to just say, I don't know fully. You know, it looks like these things seem to be saying this leads this way. These other things seem to be saying something else leads another direction. You know, I don't know. I've heard some of these things, but I'm suspending my ultimate judgment until I have more facts. I don't know. And there should be no shame in saying, I don't know. We don't know. But when it comes to Jesus and what he has said about these bigger picture of life, why are we here? Who is God? Is there a God? All those things. We must be able to reply with the confidence of knowing the truth, because we have God's word given to us, inspired, infallible, flawless. And this isn't arrogance, but it is confidence. Confidence in the one, Jesus, who spoke it. Confidence in the historicity of the Bible. And that's another whole sermon, another whole matter, and love to get into that. Won't take the time today. So, in a conclusion, we need to recognize that we're not talking blind faith. When people talk about that, that's a misnomer. That is not biblical faith. It says, look at the evidence. And so when we hear people talking about your truth or my truth, or no one can say whether something is really true or not, or that no beliefs are more valid than another, or somehow trying to dismiss truth as unimportant, especially next to woke values of our day, we need to politely call that out for the crazy talk that it is. That's not where we live. That's not how this universe is put together. And we need to mainly object to that lie and refute that lie, reject that lie in our own heart, in our own mind. We need to make sure those concepts that it's shocking to me to hear them in more and more and more places. We need to make sure that doesn't cling to us, because it will enslave us. We need to be people of truth, holding on to the truth and speaking the truth. Join with me as we pray. Lord, we come to you. And in this day when the very idea of truth is under attack in our civilization, in our culture, thank you for your unchanging truth. That Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as Jesus said, that it is written, it stands written, it for all time, all places, all cultures, all people. Thank you that we can put our confidence in your word, in what you've given us in your word, because you're powerful enough to make sure the right things were recorded and error was kept out, and error was kept from the transmission of your word. Thank you that we can have confidence in who Jesus was, who he said he was, and how he was willing to go to his death for the truth of his incarnation, his being God in the flesh. And thank you that you demonstrated the truth. Demonstrated the truth of Jesus by raising him from the dead. And so we know the power of your resurrection. And thank you that you have come to live in our hearts through faith. Each of us who have put our faith, our belief in Jesus, in these facts as true. We've come to know you as true. You've come to live in our heart. And as Jesus was promising the Holy Spirit, he said, he is the Spirit of truth. He will guide you into all truth. Thank you that your Spirit of truth lives in us, Lord Jesus, and that you guide us by your truth. Father, I pray that you would call each who are with us today or listening to this, that you would call them to recognize this isn't a matter of inconsequence, that this is not just some opinion. This is life and death, eternal life and death. And that you would convict them of the truth of who Jesus said he was, the truth of our desperate need for him, the truth of his death in our place, and the truth of his resurrection, the truth of his offering us forgiveness if we will put our lives in his hands and believe in him. Father, I thank you for each in our congregation, and I know you are at work, and I know there are some who are thinking through these matters and trying to determine what is true and is there truth. Lord, I pray that you would speak to them and make it impossible for them to miss your Spirit's call on them, that they would surrender themselves to the truth, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Use us as we represent you in this world, as we contend for the faith, as we speak to others for the truth, for you. In Jesus' name, amen.